الله الرحمن الرحيم. We're continuing with the biography of Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله تعالى عنه. During the era of Jahiliyyah, so that was the era before Islam, Uthman رضي الله عنه was among the best of his people. Even in that zamana, he had a very high status and he was very wealthy. Uthman Rinan was wealthy from even before Islam. Extremely modest and eloquent in speech. His people loved him dearly and respected him. So although at that time they didn't know about Islam, any ahkam or anything, but despite that, throughout his life he never prostrated to an idol. He never committed shirk. Allah Ta'ala fitratan put that, you know, that he abhorred shirk, even though he didn't understand about Islam or anything, but he didn't get involved in shirk. Neither did he commit any immoral actions, although immorality was the order of the day. He never drank alcohol, right? Although people were drinking at that time, but he never drank. He used to say that alcohol destroys a person's reasoning. And reasoning is the most sublime thing that Allah Ta'ala has given to man. And man should elevate himself by means of reason, not destroy himself by destroying his power of reasoning. So we mentioned this some time back, that the thing that makes insan better than all the other makhluk, Allah Ta'ala himself says insan is the best makhluk, right? Is akal, insan's akal. Other makhluk also they have akal, but their akal is programmed to work in a certain way. But insan, Allah Ta'ala has given him power of reasoning. He's got akal to differentiate, he's got akal to make things for his advantage, for his benefit. He's got akal which gives him supremacy over all other makhluk, despite those makhluk being so much more powerful than him. But insan has got supremacy over those makhluk. Insan can subdue an elephant. Insan can create something faster than a cheetah. Right? Insan can do so many things. So now when a person gets involved in intoxicants, he destroys that very thing, that very akal, he's destroying it. So Sayyidina Uthman رضي الله عنه mentioned this even before Islam. So, now, obviously, from a dini perspective, even in tasawwuf, right, we say that insan is made up of five things. Right? And the main thing that must control everything is his akal. The akal is what controls everything. But his akal must be controlled by the shariat. The shariat is above his akal. His reasoning can never go beyond the shariat. If his reasoning comes to a conclusion which is contrary to the shariat, then you won't trust in his reasoning, you will follow what the shariat says. Similarly, during Jahiliyyah, he was not attracted to songs, no music, entertainment. Uthman radiallahu anhu also used to refrain from looking at any aura, any person immodestly dressed, etc. He won't look. May Allah Ta'ala have mercy on Uthman radiallahu anhu, for he made it easy for us to get to know him when he said, "I had no interest in songs, I never committed any immoral deed, and my right hand never touched my sharanga." My private part, my right hand never touched it. since I took allegiance to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in Jahiliya, I never drank alcohol. So, but the Ja'ola in Islam, he never drank. Even in Jahiliya also, he never drank. I never committed zina also. Whether in Jahiliya or in Islam, I never committed zina. He was well versed in knowledge that was available to the Arabs during Jahiliya. Now, the Arabs used to pride themselves in the knowledge of lineage, in the knowledge of proverbs, in the history of important events. So he was very clued up with all of this. He traveled to Sham and Abyssinia, and he mixed with non-Arab people, learning things about their lives and customs that the Arabs generally were unaware of. He understood how they lived also. He took care of the business that he had inherited from his father, and his wealth grew. He was regarded as one of the men of Banu Umayya, who were held in high esteem by all of the Quraysh. In the Jahili society of Makkah Mukarrama, in which Uthman radiallahu anhu lived, men were respected for their wealth and for how many children they had. How many children, how many brothers, more especially how many sons. How many sons, how many brothers, well, that was your strength now, your tribe, your family. That was your strength. Right? Uthman radiallahu anhu was regarded as being of high status among his people, and he was loved dearly. Among the evidence which points to the people's love for Uthman radiallahu anhu because of his combination of good qualities is the report which says that at that time an Arab woman would sing her child a song, right, which speaks of the people's respect and love for him. Right? So they used to say this, that by the most merciful, I love you, the mother is telling the child, I love you as much as the Quraysh loved Uthman. So the love that they had for him was proverbial. So we come now to his accepting Islam. Uthman radiallahu anhu was 34 years of age when Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu called him to Islam, and he did not hesitate at all. He responded immediately to the call of Sayyidina Abu Bakr now. Because if you look at his life, he had like a qalb salim. All things which Islam prohibited was already prohibited in his mind. He never got involved in those things. Right? So for him, when he learned about Islam, it must have just been like a glove putting on his hand. So he never hesitated at all. Right? Thus, he was one of the earliest Muslims, of whom Ibn Ishaq rahimahullah said, the first person to become Muslim after Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Ali radiallahu anhu, and Zayd bin Haritha radiallahu anhu was Uthman radiallahu anhu. So, according to this report, he was the fourth person to have accepted Islam. His coming to Islam so early was perhaps the result of what happened to him when he was returning from Syria. So he told Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that when he entered upon him along with Talha bin Ubaidillah, and he presented Islam to them and recited Quran Sharif to them, and he also explained to them the duties of Islam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam promised them that they would be honored by Allah Ta'ala. So they believed him, and Uthman radiallahu anhu said that, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have recently returned from Sham, from Syria, and when we were between Ma'an and Zarqa, I was about to go to sleep, when I heard a voice calling, O sleepers, get up. O sleepers, get up, for Ahmad has emerged in Makkah Mukarrama. Referring to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then when we came here, we heard about you. we return home, we heard that now, you know, you are claiming prophethood and you are calling towards deen. So undoubtedly this incident had a positive effect on Uthman radiallahu anhu, and he could not forget it when he could see all the facts before him with his own eyes. How could anyone who heard of the emergence of a Nabi before reaching the city in which he lived and found upon his arrival that what he had heard was true, how would he then ever hesitate to respond to the call? So this is, you know, Allah Ta'ala chooses people. And we must not think that we became mu'min on our own. We too Allah Ta'ala chose. It's just a gift from Allah Ta'ala. And we have to always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Always make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. And if Allah Ta'ala inclines our heart towards good, towards some, you know, when you read the du'as of Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one du'a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes, that protect me from my work, my matters, becoming spread out, or in other words, becoming complicated, difficult to accomplish. See, one is you, every person got calm. Every person has got some work or the other, right? Now one is, you have to really break your head, going from here to there, there to there, just to get that thing sorted out. And the other is, you made one phone call, and it's sorted. With ease it got sorted out. Now when it got sorted out with ease, how much more time you got on your hand now? How much more time you got on your hand? Now you can put that time into dini effort. And put that time into dini effort. But now if your calm is such that you can't find free time, you are tied up, you can't turn, then your matters are so dispersed, and sometimes, you see, in Gujarati they got a saying, "Arte karine." You do it with your own hands. You do it with your own hands. You cause the problem with your own hands. You see, sometimes a person has got a home, got a house. Whether you renting, whether you own it, whatever, you got a house, you're comfortable. You're carrying on, you got clothes on your back, you're eating. Today's Ramana, maybe a vehicle also is like a necessity. Now you got a vehicle, right? And you're carrying on. Now, there may be certain things, certain ambitions that you have, which you are unable to fulfill. Unable to fulfill those ambitions. But when you look at your necessities, it's taken care of. Right? So you see to yourself, you see, when Allah Ta'ala wants that to happen, He'll make it happen. Right? But me now, my needs are taken care of. Now I must immerse myself into deen. Immerse myself into deen. Allah has given me this free time, He's given me these opportunities. Let me immerse myself into deen. He's taken care of my needs and necessities. I don't have to do anything more. Right? So you will see that Allah Ta'ala will free you even more. Allah Ta'ala will free you even more. Right? And Allah Ta'ala, as a situation comes up, Allah will take care of it. Allah Ta'ala will take care of it, because He is our Razzaq, right? He is our provider. Sometimes there may be some test, some little bit test, something, right? But it gets sorted out. person makes a little bit sabr, he carries on, Allah Ta'ala swats it out, and when he looks back, 3 years down the line, when he looks back at that situation, he says, my dunyavi life is better than what it was 3 years ago, 4 years ago. Would hardly any effort. Provided the person takes his free time that Allah is affording him and he puts it into deen. Now, the other way to look at life is, see, now I've got this car, I've got this house, I've got that. I've got 5 hours free. So I can do something else now. Then I can get money to do that, or get money to do this. Even if it is a good thing. But now what will happen? Your peace of mind is gone. Because now you're chasing. So your payola sometimes goes away. Then you're acting now. And then now catching fish sometime. You know, catching fish as in falling off to sleep. It's not somebody really thinking catching fish. One person heard the word Kaleji in the program, person from another country. So now this Kaleji, I don't know what is this Kaleji, but I found out from somebody, Kaleji is liver. So they're telling me in their language what they call Kaleji. Some other word, I can't get the word now. Then they say, and also this Paya, I don't know what is this Paya. So then I found out what is Paya. So we call it this in our language, So the person now, he is stressing himself out. Now his phone is ringing so many more times. He has to go somewhere, buy this, come back, deliver that, go back, good. His peace of mind is gone. Right? Slowly he'll find now he's missing his takbir-e-ula. He can't get all his sunnahs, he's getting tired, and his akhlaq is going off. For what? For what? All this that we're trying to do is for what? To sort out things in the world. Right? Sort out things in the world. How important is the world? How important is the world? Roti, kapra, makan. Those 3 things you got. Roti as in food, kapra clothing, makan means a home. Right? And then you got a few things to make yourself a little bit comfortable. Right? More than that, what does the person require? Now if Allah Ta'ala wants to give you more, He gives you. If Allah Ta'ala wants to give you more, if Allah Ta'ala wants you to be the owner of a house, He'll make you the owner of a house. If Allah Ta'ala wants you to be renting your whole life, you rent your whole life. Usme kya? If Allah Ta'ala wants you to get a better vehicle, He'll give it to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us, we must trust in Allah like how the birds trust in Allah. So they come out hungry, they come back, they're full. Now currently the saline run is on. Now see, normally the fish, the sharks, the bigger fish, they have to work hard to get their food. But when Allah Ta'ala wants to just give them, there's more than what they can eat. The sharks eat so much that you can go pet them, they won't bite you. They're so full. I'm not saying what sharks are. But people be standing in the water, the sharks are so full. They're so full, but you don't know which one is full, which one is not full, that's the problem. So don't take a chance with the shark. Human shark and the shark. You know, humans do get sharks. So don't go business with the shark. And don't, you know, go play in the water with the shark. They are in their domain, we must stay in our domain. We mustn't go in their domain. But people who go to net these sardines and they work with it, they tell you, the thing is so full, right? And his head is only in the sardine. You can be standing next to the shark, won't do you anything. Allah gives them so much of rosy in a split second. Where the sardines come from? Where they go away? Every year, right, there's a whole team of people from different countries. This is their knowledge. You see, what they see in the universities and all that. So there's a whole group. If you have to go to Port St. John's now, you won't get accommodation. People from different countries, all booked in there, studying the sardine shows. A mu'min takes different lessons. Now they want to figure out where this thing comes from, where it goes, how it works, how it... The mu'min, see, this is rosy Allah is giving. When Allah wants to give it, He gives it, you eat it. When Allah Ta'ala takes it away, He takes it away. We make shukr and we carry on. That this came from Allah. But what lesson we are taking today is how Allah Ta'ala can just give it. If Allah Ta'ala can give the sharks, give the whales, give the fish, then can He not give His mu'min banda who's making Allah Allah, who's serving His deen? Not that we must serve deen with that intention. We must serve deen for the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Now what Allah Ta'ala wants to give you after, He'll give it to you. How He wants to give it to you, He'll give it to you. Now you're sitting and working out, but how is it going to happen? How does sardines just come? Sardines just come. All these stomachs are full. Just like that, the sardines just come. The eels just come out. The lizards have a party. The frogs have a party. The cats have a party. The birds have a party. The eels came out. The fish have a party. The fish also, they eat the eels. So how it just comes? Where it comes from? Where it goes away? It's rosy. So Allah Ta'ala can just give. When Allah wants to give, He just give. So you trust in Allah Ta'ala. As long as your needs, your necessities are taken care of, then don't break it. Then concentrate on Allah Ta'ala's deen. Make khidmat of deen. Carry on in deen. Now that is a person who may be teaching, maybe imam. Now a person is in business. Allah Ta'ala gave him a business. From that business, alhamdulillah, his expenses are taken care of. He's got a home, a vehicle, clothes, made his hands, whatever his needs, necessities, all taken care of. Now he's making extra money. So extra money is alright. Let me help now. Widows, orphans, poor, Qurbani time, let me do some extra animals. Whatever is doing khairat is carrying on, right? But now the thought comes in the mind. See, shop is available there. What if the opposition comes away? Let me take that. Open a second branch. Then open a third branch. Now, with sukoon, his needs were taken care of. Sukoon, he come, open shop, Saturday, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, close, spending time with the family. He got, maybe their two brothers. One wants to go in Jamaat, the other one is standing. Father and son sometime. Whatever. So you got a good arrangement. But he is earning the rosy. Now you take all that is and you throw it away and you buy frustration for yourself. For what? how much more you're going to earn, how much more you're going to eat. So now you open 4 or 5 shops, now you think, oh, now you see, you've got big trucks, you've got the media name, power, service. At the end of it all, when you really sit and work out the maths, you just bought frustration. You just bought extra headache, that's all. Nothing more you did. You bought extra headache. I'm not saying that a businessman must not see how to improve his business. Sometime within his shop, all right, now let's open, let's complement our business now with a new department. Let's change the look of things. That all is very good, a person must do. One Ali explained it very beautifully. He says, see, you got a 200 liter drum, right? And you got one tap there. And you want to fill a bucket. You open the tap, water's going to come out with pressure, right? And you just got the bucket in one place. In a short while, bucket is filled up. Now you say, man, hey, you know what, man, this one bucket, one tap is not working out, man. Then you put a second tap, put a third tap, put a fourth tap. Right? Now you put 5, 6 taps on that drum. You're still only going to get 200 liters of water, max, out of the 200 liter drum. But now to get that 200 now you've got 5 drums, 5 buckets by the 5 taps. Now you're watching, hey, that one is coming out slowly now. You mean, took the drum a little bit that way. This one is coming, hey, that one is getting full now. You go close. This one is empty. You're still only going to get 200. What Rosie is written for us, not going to get anything more than that, not going to get anything less than that. Nobody is going to take it away from us. Nobody can eat our dana pani. Nobody can. That's ours. Is protected by Allah Ta'ala. Nobody can take it. So trust in Allah Ta'ala. Whatever free time Allah gives us, put it into deen. And there are so many business people also like that. They got their business, they're running. They go for Jamaat. Some of them, with Pabandi, they'll do their 40 days every year. They'll leave that business and they'll go. And you get some people, as they're getting older, they start slowing down. Sometimes the person, you know, the ideal thing for a businessman is he should be planning his retirement. I was reading in one kitab that the people of Madina Munawwara, by the time they reached 40, so after 40 now, they mustn't have a figure for earning. They must just immerse themselves now one way into khidmat of deen. Ibadah, khidmat of deen, you know, immerse themselves into that now. Because now, we're going to the qabr, no? On the last lap. So, you find people like that. My marhum stepfather, so I used to really admire that in him. That he worked for his whatever amount of years, and he was involved in tabligh and whatever, while he was, had his business and things. But when he reached a point where he had income, right, and now he never needed to work. He had some rental income, he had some savings, or investment, whatever. And now he didn't need to work. So then he came out of business. And then now he could give his time for Jamaat work. Mashwara is taking place, South African Mashwara is taking place, he wants to go. He's a free man. He wants to go for Umrah, he can go. He wants to go for Hajj, if it was possible, go. He wants to go visit some. Now they used to make it a point. My mother is living in Durban and make it a point now, go to the hospital, certain person in the hospital, go visit them, certain person not sick, go, you know, so sick, go see them. Right? Because you're a free man now. Right? And yet you find people, Allah has given them so much of wealth, right? So much of wealth, but he's still working. And he, despite having wealth, he drove an old Camry and never dealt with the bank. Never bought anything through a bank. And now we used to laugh at him. In the end, I told him, because every time he'd say, no, you find me on car, no? And you know me, cars change all the time. The other day I met one friend of mine at the farm. He said to me, Mona, you're like you were hiding from somebody. I said, why? He said, you're undercover. When do you see this car? When do you see? I said, then you must know there is no car. You must know there is no car. He says, you were this car, you were that car. So he used to always tell me, he said, no, find me one car. Now you'll find the car for him. Right? Now, something he won't buy, you know? You know? Then I told him, I said, see, Daddy, what you do? You tell me how much you want the car for you, give me the money. I'll buy it for you and bring it for you. But the thing is, he had the money. He could have went and bought a smart car if he wanted to. Cash, he could have went and bought. A life listing. Right? But it wasn't something that he needed to have. The law must be like the Joneses, law must be, you know. Moving. He ate the best, he bought what he needed to buy. If he was traveling with anybody, he spent his money. You know, like went somewhere with the Jamaat, whatever, he would go buy the food, whatever. It wasn't he was stingy with his money. Where he needed to spend, he spent his money. But he wasn't interested in material things. You know, like I must have a smart car, my shoe must be like this, or my jacket must be like that. No, he wasn't interested in all of that. Right? And he retired, immersed himself into khidmat of deen, right? And passed his days like that till he passed away. A person must plan his life like that. You don't work for the sake of working. Now, some people have to wait long for that, right? Some people, they want to wait long to reach that. They want to work some investments, this, that. Now there was some awak, then now they reach a point where they can retire and serve him. And those who are Warasatul Anbiya, you get it early in life. Allah Ta'ala makes the world work to feed you, to serve his deen. And now if you start thinking, no, I need to start working now. I need to start working. You're being foolish. See, it's a different thing. It's a different thing. If a person is making khidmat of deen and he is being oppressed, you know, he is being treated with zillat. He is not allowed to give a bayan that he wants to give. Not allowed to speak haq. Like what used to happen in the old days in the country. So that time, many of the Buzurgan Deen used to say, sort out your maash first. Then serve deen while you're independent. But the thing is, times have changed. Times have changed. It's not like that. People have become more dini conscious. Right? People are not restricting the alim that now, no, you can't talk on interest or you can't speak about this or speak about this. Before they used to restrict the alim. Now, we don't have all those issues. And if Allah Ta'ala has taken care of our needs, why do we have to think of anything else? Continue serving Allah's deen. Whatever you need, Allah will give it to you. See, we were reading yesterday, so we'll stop with the biography of him. We went on to another, taking a lesson from Usman ibn Affan's life, right? Yesterday we did in Tazkiratul Hadith, right? That Hazrat Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahib, the year before that, all these mashayikh were going for Hajj. He wanted to go for Hajj. He didn't have the means. The next year, his mother was going. His brother, mother, his sisters. And then he thought that Maulana Rashid Ahmad Sahib would also be going, Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib would also be going. He wanted to go for Hajj. Again, he never had the means. But Allah Ta'ala made it that the person who was there as Maulana Shamsuddin, he said, you come with me for Hajj and I will take care of all your things. So when he had the tarab to go, you are on a road to Jannat. Please remember this. You are on a road to Jannat. When you're serving Allah's deen, you are on a road to Jannat. Right? In Jannat, you just think of something, you get it. Right? In this road to Jannat, when there is a need for something, and it's good for you to have it, Allah will give it to you. When Allah Ta'ala is not giving it to you, then there's some goodness in you not having it. But if there is a goodness for you to have it, you will get it. Allah will give it to you. Khazana belongs to Allah, why should He deprive you? Why should He deprive you? If He knows that you need something, it's good for you to have it, He'll give it to you. I remember every year, Hajj time, you know. So we used to talk. You have to go for Hajj. You haven't got money to go for Hajj. So every year, Hajj time, now you look at the prices. You know. Those days, there was no quota system and all. You wanted to go, you book your ticket and go in. So, every year look at the prices going higher, you know. Every year you see the price is going higher. So you never start saving for last year's price. Now, I will start saving for this year's price. So every year she'll ask me, she said, no, you don't know when you're going to go for Hajj. I said, I'm going this year. I'm going this year. If Allah wants you to go, you will go. And I remember the year Allah Ta'ala took us for Hajj. 1 month before Hajj, we never know we went for Hajj. See, Allah knew we went, we didn't know we went. See? And at that time, the rand had reached its lowest to the dollar. You know, normally it was playing under 10 rand, sitting in those figures. That year it went away 12 rand to the dollar. Now it's gone high. For that time it reached at an all-time high to purchase the dollar. And Allah Pak took us in that year, when the dollar was so high. And not for 1 and 2 weeks. Full 6 weeks, even proper 6 weeks. So Allah is a doer. When Allah wants something to happen, Allah will make it happen. The world belongs to Him. You just got to trust in Him. Everything belongs to Him. Just trust in Him, talk to Him, continue your khidmat of deen. Continue your khidmat of deen. Allah Ta'ala will take care of things. So continue.